everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I'm your host, Kate Romero, and I would like to thank Don Newsom over at BBS Radio for providing such a wonderful platform to raise consciousness using positive media, which is Spiritual Hollywood. And we have a wonderful guest this evening, speaking of positive media, Jesus Nebo, which you will find to be a real treat and forced to be reckoned with, as a matter of fact. What I will do is just give a brief introduction of Jesus and then bring him on without further ado. The law of attraction and all scientific evidence tell us that we create our reality based on our energy vibrations. We are pretty much all knowing that these days. Well, such energy vibration is determined by how we feel deep inside. Now, this is what Jesus is saying. The traditional path to success focuses on setting up specific goals and strategies to achieve them. However, there is often a forcing type of energy that comes with it. It's about striving and pushing ourselves, doing more, and it can actually be very draining and the results not so great after all. The reason is simple. It's because we are unconsciously operating from a low energy vibration. But there is another path to success, and one that embraces the law of attraction and understands that happiness is the source of success, not a result of it. And this is what Jesus calls soul success. And Jesus is also a filmmaker, a wonderfully talented actor, a trainer, an award-winning speaker, and he has a film that he co-wrote, co-directed, starred in, produced, called No Turning Back, which has won some 23 awards, and 18 of them are for Best Feature, including the ALMA Award for Outstanding Independent Motion Picture. Best Lead Actor for No Turning Back. He also has a cable show called The Love Show, which is a groundbreaking cable talk show which brings in expert guests to explore the frontiers of consciousness and the healing power of love in our lives, in our communities, and in the world. And Jesus has such a tremendous passion for peace and consciousness and social justice that it led him to create a series of transformational seminars on leadership, communication, diversity, and spirituality that have touched the lives of over 10,000 people in the past 4 years. In 2005, he was invited to be a featured speaker at the National Conference on Race and Ethnicity. And there's just so much to this person that I'm about to bring on, and I'm thrilled to introduce him to you. He received his BA degree with honors from the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts in Madrid, and he studied also with Lee Strasberg Institute, New York, on a scholarship from the Spanish government, which is pretty cool. And he also guest starred on Fox's Emmy-winning series NYPD Blue and Arrested Development. And he is a National Speaker Association member and actually won Best Speaker by the Toastmasters International in three different competitions. Additionally, Jesus has been the recipient of the Aguila Azteca Performing Arts Tribute Award, the Latinos in Hollywood Star Filmmaker Award, the Nosotros Outstanding Independent Filmmaker Golden Eagle Award, and the Southern California Motion Picture Council's Golden Star Halo Award for his outstanding contribution to the entertainment industry. And for more information, if you'll just go ahead and log on, being at, you are at your computers, www.jesusnebo.com, and I will spell that for you, www.jesusnebot.com. Without further ado, I will bring on Jesus Nebo. Hello, Jesus.
Hi, Katie. How are you doing? Thank you for that beautiful introduction.
Doing great. Well, shoot, you know, I could have gone on all night, but then our hour would be over and you wouldn't get to speak.
Yeah, but there's a lot of information. The bottom line is I'm here to love. I'm here to be of service. I'm here to be, I'm here for God. And that's what is really important, more than all the different achievements and all the different things that you have mentioned. But I do appreciate that you went through the whole list and you mentioned all of them. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. And I know that having met you, that there is a lot more to come from you. I don't know if you're able to speak about what you have in the works, but I'm so excited by it that I'm just thrilled to mention it if you're willing to. And the project that you have in the works about, it's I don't know if we could call it reality television, but it has to do with the homeless.
Well, I do have several projects in the works, as you were mentioning, and regarding the homeless, yes, I am currently shooting a documentary. It's not a real TV show at this point, but it is a documentary, and it is about gratitude, and I am going and interviewing people that don't have homes and that are basically either living on the streets or living on missions or just having a very difficult life. And I'm going to ask them not about their problems, not about their struggles. I'm going to ask them about gratitude, what is that they are grateful for. And it's actually a documentary that I'm preparing right now for Thanksgiving that can in itself evolve to a bigger project. But the bottom line is that we have this perception of others that is based on illusion, and when we look at homeless people, of course it's very easy, or when we even look at poor people or people that seemingly are poor, it's very easy for us to feel like they are victims or feel like there is no light to them. And I want to emphasize that there is light in them, and by doing so I am able to allow them to remember that the light that there is within them, which is empowering for them, but I also allow people to realize that no matter where we are in life, we can all be grateful. And that energy of gratitude is the one that can raise that energy vibration that will in itself propel us to be successful.
Absolutely, no question about it. So it doesn't matter where you are at in your life, even if you're living in, and I don't mean to sound like I'm putting down anyone in a third world country or speaking of them as if they have no wealth, because the wealth lives inside of them. And once we teach people to find the wealth inside of them, which is their God self, their essence, their true nature, their divinity, then their circumstances that they're living in, they can find joy within that, correct?
Absolutely. And there is a greater reflection, if you will, because that which we call homeless right now is perceived as not having a physical home, but there is something that is, I would say, there is something that is probably worse than not having a physical home, which is not having a spiritual home. And you cannot, you may be disconnected from your home within, regardless of your outer circumstances. There are people that are highly successful in material terms, and yet home is not within. They don't feel the peace, the love, the joy that is within. And so that's the home that to me is more important, that is spiritual home that we can all tap into and that is there no matter the circumstances.
I couldn't agree with you more. I know that having grown up as an indigo child to an atheist family, the most painful thing about that was that I was not allowed to be in my spiritual home, which was within myself, within my family. I had no one to talk about that to. I had nowhere to express myself. I felt so disconnected from my inner self because I was born to a family who didn't believe in anything that was spiritual. So I can tell you firsthand that there is a lot of pain and agony in being disconnected from the unified field of love, which is that inner home, that spiritual home that you're speaking of. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so anybody who's in a lot of pain right now have simply lost their connection to themselves, basically. And it, as you said, it doesn't really matter what station you are in life. You can have all the money in the world, but if you've lost your spiritual home, then you have an emptiness within you that it's not making that wealth that you have worthwhile in the world or being a good example for those who would like to use you as a role model. But I believe wealth, it's our duty to have wealth so that we can be successful in front of people, to show people that it is possible for them if it's possible for us, and to use our wealth for benevolent means. It's our responsibility to be wealthy, I think, in one sense or the other.
Yes, and it is also important to understand that abundance and wealth is not limited to financial wealth. And only when we have that that approach that is more holistic, that is more integral, that encompasses not just the material wealth, but also the spiritual, the emotional, the physical, then I think that we can really be happy and be on purpose. But I think what happens is that, by and large, most people understand success as achieving goals, and those goals, most people would say it's basically to have money. And the interpretation is that when you have money, you have freedom. And in reality, yes, you could say you have some type of freedom, but not necessarily that is conducive to happiness, not necessarily that's conducive to peace, to joy, and being yourself in the entertainment industry. You and I, we see that every day. Well, not only us, everybody can see that. I mean, we have people like Anne Nicole Smith or Britney Spears, for that matter, just recently, people that are have everything material in terms of beauty and in terms of money and fame and power and everything that you may consider that is a sign of success, and yet it is clear that they are miserable, and in the case of Anne Nicole Smith, that led to an overdose and suicide. So, or if not suicide, obviously an overdose. But the point is that we need to understand success in a different way, and success is, yes, achieving one's goals, that's a definition. More important than that to me is the fulfillment of your dreams. And to that end, the most important thing is the expansion of our state of happiness. And how you expand that state of happiness is not by having strategies to get certain goals. It's by working within and realizing that which needs to be healed within so that you can fully love yourself, so that you can fully love everyone. And that's what is going to allow you to raise your energy vibration from which all is created and manifest a life of abundance, which is what I can enjoy now, and I think a lot of people can enjoy. But again, most people think that the law of attraction is about you focus on what you want, and then you just will get it. And the reality is that there is some inner work that is needed so that you can have that high vibration, that happiness, that peace, that joy, that abundant radiance that will allow you to attract that which you really like, that which you really want.
Absolutely, and that's the difference between success and soulcess, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Right. So with the law of attraction, it's not just about material wealth, as the whole world is talking about these days. It's about attracting health, love, relationship, peace of mind, all of the things that money cannot buy. And it's about, but if it took the law of attraction and the secret and what the bleep do we know, promising of money and riches and wealth and treasures, if it took that to wake people up, then good. Because if they know that they can attract those other things, but the last six letters of attraction are action. So you can't really sit there and say, om, and next thing you know, you've got a Hummer in front of you. No, you have to go into action. You have to start shifting your consciousness. You have to start thinking differently. You have to go within or you will go without. And that is the truth every time, like gravity, just as constant as gravity. So what is it that you would teach in your seminars, Jesus, regarding raising one's vibration? Do you have a certain concept that you use that works for your clients?
Oh, absolutely. And the first thing is really to realize who we are, to realize our true nature. See, you're right that attraction, the last word is action. But my experience is that a lot of people take action that is not congruent with who they really are, and then that action is not filled with the passion, is not filled with the love that is necessary to be successful. And so what I find is that there are a lot of methods, and obviously we're all exposed to all of them through the media, through the internet, and through all the different seminars about how one can become a millionaire and be very successful. But by and large, you will observe that a lot of people take different paths, and then they are frustrated because none of them leads to success. And a lot of people will blame it on the systems, and there's nothing wrong with the systems. They're all just systems. What happens is that probably we are pursuing systems that we're not supposed to pursue in the first place because we're not really connected with who we are and what we're here for. So the most important thing is to, before taking action, taking the time to become aware of our true essence and letting go of that which is not our true essence so that we can then basically heal ourselves and take inspired action. And usually when you are really connected with who you are and what's your true purpose in life, that action is selfless. It's not so much about what I can get. There's a lot of focus on, let's see what I can do to get things. And that in itself shows the lack of understanding of who we are. We are infinite. We are at source infinite light, that energy that we can call God, if you will. And from that place, we're here to give. And when you are here to give, then naturally giving and receiving is a flow that will occur in your life and you will basically manifest abundance. But the moment that you're here to get things, what you are already telling the universe is that you are lacking and you are in a place of poverty consciousness, if you will, from which really you cannot manifest things unless you work really hard, and not necessarily that's going to lead to a lot of happiness and joy. The process, by the way, it's a six-step process, and I definitely can talk about it, Kate, and it would take me maybe about 10, 15 minutes, so, you know, you let me know.
Well, my next question was for you, Jesus, and it's like, you know, talking to you is like, you know, I was jokingly, but not quite jokingly, telling people when you and I were to have coffee, I was saying, I had just come from the Truth Behind the Secret seminar with John Steller, who's of Steller Communications, represents a lot of people from The Secret. And I was sharing with everybody that I was just about to go have coffee with Jesus. and I really meant that, because we all are of that essence. And until we do recognize our own divinity, Jesus Christ or God or Source or Creator cannot express itself through us, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And that's what happens. Sometimes we think about goals from our egoic mind without realizing that not necessarily those are the goals that we're here to develop or we are here to fulfill. And we need to look at the greater picture. We need to know what is that we are here to give to others. What is our gift, our talent? What is God's desires for us, if you will, understanding that God lives within all of us, that God is not somebody out there that we need to connect that is who knows where in heaven, but that is our, really our deepest truth within. But again, it implies letting go of that identification that we all have at some point with our experiences or with our thoughts or with our emotions, all those things that are really the baggage that we are carrying that are not allowing us to be fully present and fully connected with Source, so that from that place of intuition and inspiration, we can take selfless action that will lead to the fulfillment of our innermost desires.
Right, right. So life is forgiving, not forgetting.
Yes, life is forgiving, forgiving yourself, forgiving others, and forgetting as well, if that's where you can go. I mean, as you become more enlightened and more awakened, definitely the memory of past events tends to disappear. And in itself, that memory, like I said, becomes a little bit of a baggage for a lot of us, because those memories, instead of expanding our awareness, at times what they do is they limit our understanding and create, and to that extent, they limit our future. In other words, if you had an experience as a kid where, I don't know, you had a fight, and this fight was with a big white kid, then it's easy for you to then grow up thinking that big white people are probably not safe, and therefore you may have already a limited belief in your mind that you are not even aware of, that will make you feel like you distrust a certain type of people. And I'm just putting an example of many.
Right, right, right. And with hypnotherapy,
forgetting
yeah.
to a degree, it's also important. I mean, ultimately, what will allow us to completely be in the flow and completely be in a place of peace and happiness and joy is living the now. Let go of the past, and also let go of the anxiety of the future that is creating all that unnecessary stress that we are carrying in our bodies. Only when we can be fully present, we can then let the presence be present. And the present is the present, if you will. So living in the now is probably the most important practice that we can all be aware of, to from that place of nothingness, almost, so to speak, in terms of nothing in our mind, be able to channel that peace and that love and that joy and that creative energy that allows us to create our heart's desires.
Absolutely. And when I said life is forgiving, not forgetting, it was a play on words as much as literal, because life is forgiving. If you are of service, your physical needs will be provided for. When you are of service, you are living your purpose. But before you take off to go and try to manifest or attract something, it is best first to find out what your purpose is.
You're absolutely right.
What lights you up?
The play on words makes total sense. And we're here to give, not to get. And at the same time, I hear so often people that say, we won't forget. And that's been such a motto almost in this country because of things that have happened and related to terrorism, as you know. And mm-hmm. in itself, that's not helping us to grow. It's not helping us to take responsibility. It's not helping us to heal. And it's the type of motto that I hear so often, the not forgetting. And it seems like forgetting is something bad or wrong, and that's not the case. It's actually a very healing thing if you're able to. And if you're not able to, that's okay, because we're all in different paths, we're all in different places in life,
mm-hmm.
and I have total compassion for people that are still stuck in something that happened in the past. But definitely that will limit our possibility to create a future that will allow us to be everything that we can be.
Yeah, it shuts down your expansiveness, and if you're not expanding, you're contracting. So anything that gets in the way and limits your expansion is something that needs to be worked through. And I mean, I feel for myself, Jesus, that acceptance of something that I find to be a burden or baggage, to finally accept it is the best way to let it go. And a lot of people fight what it is they don't want in their life, and by fighting it, they're causing it to persist, and they're causing it to remain and get bigger because they're focusing on that, they're creating more of that. But to accept what that thing is in the first place, like whatever's bothering you the most today, anybody listening, put that at the top of your gratitude list and see what'll happen.
I love what you're saying, because that which you resist persists. And acceptance, interesting enough, is the first key that I teach in this six-step process to attaining soul success or inner success or spiritual success, if you will. And acceptance of everything as is. And absolutely right, when you're saying having gratitude, there is a particular attitude that I call the enlightened attitude that I emphasize. And it says very simply that if something is going well in your life, then just be grateful for it. And if something is not going well in your life, then just simply be grateful for it. Because that which is not going well is what is informing you as a being of all those things within your being that need to be healed, those personality traits that need to be healed so that you can then grow, so that you can then expand in your consciousness, so that you can then, again, manifest that peace, that love, and that joy that you truly deserve. So that attitude of gratitude for life as it is fundamental. Having acceptance for everything as is. And this is an attitude that is not common. And as an example, look at most of the activism that exists in the world is because there is this energy that something is wrong that needs to be changed. But what happens with that energy comes from a place of fear. That energy comes from a place of anger. And therefore, the vibration of that energy is rather low, and what happens is that results are actually rather low as well, because what we are creating is more polarization. There's a lot of talk right now about Bush is wrong because of this and because of that, and I'm not disputing anything that people may say, but what I'm saying is that is not allowing you to be what I call a love activist. And so I emphasize the importance of acting out of love as opposed to acting out of fear or acting out of anger. And to that end, we can only act out of love when we accept everything as is and when we are really well connected and well grounded in that energy of unconditional love that makes us all one and that we can call God, and that's the energy that we can kind of channel through us to manifest that which is truly important to us as individuals and us as a society as well.
Well, I have to say that you certainly are doing that, and every moment of every day. I see that you're the kind of person, and excuse me if I'm incorrect in saying this, because I certainly don't need to be right, but this is my perception of you, having only just met you, but hearing about you here and there over time. It was time for us to meet, and it was time for you to be on my show, and all is perfect. But what I get is that you're the kind of person who, during any crisis or anything good or anything, any moment, any day, any time, you would be asking yourself, what would Jesus do? Is that right?
Yes, that is a particular meditation that I do, that I practice, and that has been incredibly helpful for me, and has put me in situations rather challenging situations, but that have ended up in wonderful experiences of growth. I can tell you, for example, one in specific, if we have time, 5 minutes for a little story. When I first came to Los Angeles, first of all, I came from working extensively as an actor and being very successful in material terms and being an actor in the on a TV show that was number one in different countries, and obviously having all that fame and the money and everything that you may think that is ideal in more material terms. And what happened is at the time I was in Venezuela, and Venezuela had this incredible financial crisis. So basically that put an end to the show that I was doing, to the contract that I had. On top of it all, when I sold my house, I couldn't take the monies from it because the government was freezing the assets to avoid the money laundering. Anyway, to make the long story short, I came to Los Angeles with nothing. And it was very interesting for me that after taking a plane for a few hours, I would be here, and of course people would have a completely different perception of me, even though I was the same person. Now I was not the famous star. Now I was more like somebody that had to prove that was legal in the country, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And at the time, actually, I was working on my papers. So it was very interesting. But the point that I'm bringing is, after arriving to Los Angeles and being here for a few months, I got a call from a person, and I couldn't recognize that person. And basically, after making contact with this person that called several times, I realized that she was a friend from childhood, and that I had met when I was 13 years old. And talking to her and her husband, what I found out is that this was a woman that was having some mental challenges, that had tried to commit suicide a couple of times, a woman that had a husband, of course, and a couple of kids, and a woman that was into, you know, taking drugs and drinking and everything that you can imagine that would make it not a very stable person. But for whatever reason, she was going to be put in a psychiatric, and she said that the only person that could help her would be me. And so the husband and the doctor, they contacted me, and they didn't know why she had this vision. And I talked to her, and she just felt that apparently when she was 13 years old, she had some kind of depression, and I was able to help her out of that depression. And with that in mind, she just felt that I would be the person that could help her. Now, of course, I talked about that with my friends and family. Everybody said, you're crazy. This is a person that is not in her own mind, and don't listen to that. Don't you even think about encouraging this woman to come here with a one-way ticket to be with you. That doesn't make any sense. But I did have that meditation. And what I got in that meditation, and it's just an example, is that Jesus would not say no to this woman. That Jesus would open to the possibility of healing that could occur. And so when I talked to her on the phone, I said, listen, this is my situation. I'm struggling. I came from, yes, having that very glamorous life, but that has nothing to do with my life right now. And this is where I am. I'm living in a single apartment, and basically I just want to see you as light. I want to see you as God, and therefore I know that within you there is the wisdom to make the best decision. And although these are the circumstances, you choose whatever is best. And she told me, well, I've made my choice. I want to go. And I was silent. I actually told her, are you sure? And she told me, you're scared, aren't you? And I said, yes, I'm scared, but that's my commitment to be in this path. And she came. And when she came, basically, she came with a lot of drugs, and she explained to me that apparently I was her first love as a child, and that her desire was to see me and then to take her life, that she wanted to commit suicide. And she came with that to me, and it was very scary, but I said, you know what, I respect your choice. I think that that's what you want to do. That's fine. I did a deal with her, so I told her, just give me your drugs, and whenever you're ready to go, just let me know. We can talk about it, and if you want the drugs, I'll give them to you, and you can do so. Well, that was the beginning of an amazing journey for 1 month, and that journey has really nothing to do with me. It has to do with the power of love, the power of God, if you will. But she went back home, and her life completely changed. She's now a recognized author that has won awards. She had like a second honeymoon with her husband. Her kids love her. Her husband and her kids send me every year beautiful letters and gifts because they are so grateful. And again, it wasn't me, but it was trusting that God can operate through any one of us, even in the most challenging of circumstances, and how that can transform anything. So that's just an example of how that meditation made a difference in my life, and how I know that we all ask ourselves, what would Jesus would do in this situation? We would get some clarity that would allow us to take the right action, action that would be selfless, and action that would be conducive to some healing at some level.
And you know, Jesus, and thank you for sharing that beautiful story. It's all I can do to hold back a floodgate of tears. But a lot of people don't understand, Jesus, exactly who Jesus was. Everyone has all these preconceived notions, and we've been taught such mixed messages about who is Jesus and the fundamental Christianity. My son's father, for instance, even to this day tells me I have no right to think that I'm divine. I have no right to try to seek divinity within myself because it doesn't exist within me. It exists out there somewhere, and then I'm blasphemous if I see my own divinity. And I have compassion for him for saying that because I know he's trying to do the right thing. But that's not the message of Jesus. Jesus was simply a person who had extraordinary integrity. And through his integrity, he lived a life of integrity. And that is the message, that each one of us can be like Jesus by living that life of integrity, yes?
Absolutely. The truth of the matter is Jesus was just a beautiful example to all of us. Like other spiritual masters, for that matter, I mean, we can talk about Krishna or Buddha or Muhammad, and in essence, they all came with the same message, which was rather simple. Love yourself and love others like you love yourself, and love God. And again, people now understand God in many different ways, but if we understand God as infinite, then we should all agree that love is everything that is. That love is everything. And so if love is infinite and if God is infinite, then that whole thing about what is good and bad, right and wrong, I mean, there cannot be God is good and then there is evil, because then that would not make God infinite. There is a lot of misunderstanding about what God is and what was the message of Jesus. But let me just tell you that, yes, I do see a lot of people that think of Jesus as an exception because he was the Son of God. And therefore, they don't think that they can ever attain that level of awareness or that level of love that he embodied. When in reality, his message was quite the opposite. It was one to empower us to be in that place of unconditional love, be in that place where you can love everyone unconditionally. I mean, if you look at Jesus, and I'm saying this because we all claim at some level, or most people claim to be Christians, but the main message of Jesus is love everyone like you love yourself, not love your friends and your family, love everyone. And I still get a lot of anger responses when I comment that I love everyone, including when they ask me the terrorist and everybody. I love everyone. It's that energy of love that will allow us to heal the planet, heal ourselves, and heal those people that are not in a good place, not by condoning, not by condemning them, not by being angry with them. By the way, loving everyone, that doesn't mean that you have to condone them. That doesn't mean you have to agree with them. Those are the limited beliefs that we have created for ourselves about what love is. Love, in essence, is that energy that makes us all one. And that is the love that Jesus brought to our awareness. So from that point of view, we need to see Jesus as an example. And we need to see it in Jesus the opportunity that we all have to embrace that Christ consciousness that he brought to this planet for all of us to become awakened and enlightened to our true nature, which is not that which we perceive with our senses. And from that point, just manifest the peace, the love, the joy, the basically heaven on earth, which is our duty and which is our ultimate purpose as human beings.
Absolutely, and that is exactly the way I see it and the way I feel about it. And there is a lot of confusion around the Christ consciousness, and it is I believe all of us are divine, and it is our journey to get back to that divinity, and the awakening to that divinity is what allows source energy to come through us. It cannot come through us. We are completely blocked until we recognize our divinity.
Correct. And you know, that brings to my attention one thing that Jesus said, which was, seek first the kingdom of God, and then and all these things will be added unto you. And that was when he was talking about people wanting things and material things. And he brought that to our awareness. The awareness of soul says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first heaven on earth within you, here, as you are right now, no matter where you are, what your state, no matter what are your circumstances, we all have that power. We've seen it. We've seen people that are incredibly powerful. Listen, one of the things that is amazing about going and interviewing people that don't have homes is that once in a while you find people that are incredibly awakened and incredibly enlightened, so much so that they are truly free. And because they are so free, they don't care about living on the streets. That is more common in India and in other countries, but you also find them here. And I have proof of that on my documentary. And that's the freedom that is really important, not so much the financial freedom, but that freedom, once you attain that freedom from that place, then it's easier and more organic to attain material success and that other financial freedom. And I am a clear example of that because I did struggle a lot financially. I was one of those individuals that had that belief that either you're spiritual or you're rich. And it was very clear to me. And I had to let go of that. And at some point, I made a goal for myself to be a millionaire, but not necessarily because I needed $1 million, which actually I don't, but just because I felt that that would allow me to expand my thinking, my mind, and that would allow me also to be abundant, to be a good example, and to obviously be giving and to create a non-profit, which is something I'm in the process of creating. And when I had that belief, either I'm spiritual or rich, it's an interesting anecdote. I was pretty much homeless. I had just finished my film, and my film, Not Turning Back, as you know, has won a lot of awards, but it also put me in a lot of financial strain because I had to put so much of my own money into it. Mm-hmm. And, it would be very simple for me to be in a place of victimhood and say, well, people are not interested in films that have spiritual content or independent movies. But no, I was wise enough to know that I had to take full responsibility for that financial struggle. And I looked at my beliefs, and I noticed that very strong belief that I had, either you're spiritual or rich. And I made a point to let go of that belief, which I know was anchored when I was a child, and I made my father wrong for a series of circumstances. And when I was able to heal that, not only I was able to buy my first home, but right now I own 15 properties. I am financially free. And it really happened when I, in my mind, was able to let go of that limited belief that was not allowing me to be everything that I can be. And I'm not saying this to impress anybody, but to impress upon you and everyone listening the possibility that exists for us to, within, from that spiritual understanding, expand our mind, our awareness, and at the same time, with all of that, expand our financial abundance as well. It all goes together, and it all starts with seeking first the kingdom of God and seeking it within and realizing that peace, that love, that happiness that we were talking about.
Yeah, and also what I'm hearing as well, Jesus, in what you just said, is a lot of the concepts you will find in The Science of Getting Rich, which is
yes.
a book that is out, and The Secret is based on that book. And it is not about having material wealth so much for the sake of having it, but it's the best way to serve the country and the best way to help people who have less than us is for us to become wealthy ourselves so that we can be altruistic and we can be benevolent and we can give and we can expand ourselves to our fullest potential because we are not limited by lack of finances, by lack of freedom. And finances and wealth do create a lot of freedom for us to expand ourselves. And that's where I feel that to become an enlightened millionaire is the only way, in my opinion, that I want to achieve that kind of wealth, is where I'm helping others achieve that as well. For me, as a talent manager, helping someone else's dreams come true is the way mine come true. And that's, for me, an enlightened millionaire approach. And if everybody would be helping everybody else achieve their dreams, then it's sort of like a pay-it-forward thing, but it's even
yes.
deeper than that. But just, if your intention is out there on being of service and helping someone else achieve what it is you hope for yourself, helping them achieve it will bring it to you.
Yes.
Every time, like clockwork, like gravity.
Absolutely. We all need to follow our bliss. Now, I mentioned the case with real estate, and I just want to make a point about that, because in truth, I could continue that path and basically keep on investing in real estate and play that game and probably have way more financial wealth than I have right now. I mean, I'm doing so well, so it's not like I'm in a place of lack at all. But that's not my path. That's something that I did at some point just because it was part of my own growth. And my path is different. My path is really to be of service. And what I'm really committed to is to do that to the best of my ability. And, of course, I do that with this call. I do that with my films. But, again, my films, going back to Jesus and the spiritual masters are the people that really inspired me to be a filmmaker. Because if you look at them, they were all storytellers. They all told stories that at some level could impact us and enlighten us. And
right.
That's what I'm passionate about, to be an instrument for that awareness to occur. And I can do that as an actor or as a filmmaker, or as a producer. I can do that as a speaker or talking to you now. I can do that through my retreats, which obviously is the best opportunity for me to share in depth all this wisdom, if you will, that has made such a powerful difference in my life and that I know has made a difference in other people's lives that have come and have joined us. And just for those people that may be interested in this path of soul says, in this path of embracing that energy of unconditional love that allow us to create this beautiful life for ourselves, I have a website. It's called loveempowerment.com, and it's as it sounds, loveempowerment.com. And if you go there, you can sign in. You are going to get a gift. I have an ebook that is called Embracing the Power of Love. And upon signing up, you will also receive some information about this retreat. Our next retreat actually is in the East Coast, November 10th and 11th. But we do have them in the East Coast and on the West Coast. And trust me, with these retreats, that's not how I make the most money. But this is my bliss. This is the path. And so it is important to be in integrity with that which is your path and not be so focused on how much money I can accumulate. Regardless of the circumstances, you need to be connected to that which you're supposed to be doing in this planet and not be so attached to the outcome. As a matter of fact, being detached from the outcome is also one of those keys that is truly important to attaining spiritual success.
Mm-hmm. And that's the way you find your intuition. That's the way you hear your intuition, is by letting go of attachment and just step out of the way. And what I'm also hearing is that for a person to know when they're living their purpose or following their bliss is another way to put it. When a person is living their purpose, they could do it all day. They would never get tired. It gives them vitality. It gives them energy. And it doesn't feel like work. And I know for me, every single thing that I do is I've made my vocation my vacation. You can't tell if I'm working or playing from one moment to the next.
Yes.
And I can't tell either, because I love every single thing that I do so very much. And it's all because it's every single thing is designed to be of service. Making money for doing good work, I believe, is an absolute must. And in order to give, you must also be a wonderful receiver. It is elegant to receive. It is godlike to receive. It takes more generosity to receive than it does to give, oftentimes. And it is in not receiving that we become people who cannot give. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And if you want, because I know we have a few minutes left, I have a story of one of the most awakening, beautiful moments that I had in my life. And I think that it's so related to giving and receiving that if that's okay with you, I'd like to
Please.
Share it with the audience.
Please.
And by the way, a lot of what I teach is based on the AHA method. And AHA stands for those moments, AHA moments, where something occurs that our consciousness expands. And what I realized is that there is a particular technique that would allow us to have an aha moment from any experience that happens in our lives. And aha stands for awareness, healing, and action. And I don't have time to talk about that right now, but let me just tell you a little bit about this particular experience. I was 6 years old, and it was one of my first, if not the first memory I had in life. And it was Christmas time. I was in Spain, and we had a dinner, obviously beautiful Christmas dinner. And it was memorable to me because for the first time, my father gave me some allowance money, that type of money that kids spend, you know, Sundays buying some ice cream or something. And for me, it was, oh, my God, this means that I'm already a kid, a grown-up kid, and I can have money. And it felt really special. Well, after dinner, my parents left with my younger brother and sister to church because in Spain it's tradition, it's a Catholic country, and it's tradition in Christmas to go to Mass at midnight, Christmas Eve. And so they left, and I was at home by myself, and after 4 or 5 minutes after they left, somebody knocked on the door. And I opened the door. I actually thought it was maybe my father had forgotten the keys or something. I opened the door, and I found this woman in front of me, and she was breastfeeding a baby and holding another child in her other hand. And she asked me, is your father here? And I said, no. And I said, well, can I talk to your mother? I said, no, they are gone. And she asked me, do you have any elder brother or sister that I can talk to? And I said, no, I'm by myself. And then she said, oh, okay, well, I'm sorry. And then she was just leaving. And I said, but hold on a second. What is it you want? And I was really intrigued because this woman looked so different, and I just was curious. And she told me, well, we are gypsies, and we are poor, and we don't have enough for Christmas, so we are just going around some homes in the neighborhood asking for some donation. And I told her, well, I can help. And she told me, you can? And I said, yeah. And I grabbed the money that my father had given me that I had in my pocket that I got, and I said, here. And I gave it to her. And she said, no, you can't do that. And I told her, yes, I can. It's my money. And I was so proud of that. And she got it, and she got all tearful. So, thank you. This means so much to me. And she proceeded to leave. And in that moment, 6 years old, I was touched beyond belief. And I can guarantee you there is no ice cream, there is no candy that I could have bought on Sunday that would have ever given me that joy, that sense of satisfaction, of love. Nothing could have ever given me that. So not only I gave her a gift, she gave me a tremendous gift by allowing me to be giving in that moment. And the fact that I had that opportunity with the first money I ever got in my life to give it away, all of it, and feel that joy allowed me to understand that giving and receiving is the same. And so the more you give, the more you receive. And that's something that is very obvious in my life. And I think that anybody that is in a place of abundance can then give, and then they can see how they can also receive. And giving sometimes means giving to ourselves, taking care of ourselves, loving ourselves. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have to give everything to church and then all of a sudden miracles are going to occur. But what I'm saying is that giving and receiving from a higher point of view, from a more awakened point of view, is exactly the same. It's being in the flow. And accumulating things does nothing for us. That's why it is important for us to be in that place of gratitude, indeed that place of giving, and understand that we're always going to be taken care of.
And also, too, Jesus, and thank you for sharing that beautiful story, we have to be great receivers in order to receive our divinity, which is our divine birthright. And until we do that, we will be blocked. And part of receiving is receiving all that we are, our full potential, and allow the things that are not of us and are not of divinity to fall away, and to accept the things about ourselves that we've disowned so that we can become whole again. And for most people, you know, as a talent manager, I see it. For people, most of the people that I work with as a coach and the whole thing is I let them know the thing that you dislike most about yourself is the thing that makes you unique and special. Learn to love that. Learn to accept that. Integrate that with yourself. Accept your true nature. Become whole again. And I want to thank you for being my guest this evening. We're coming up on the end of the hour. But before I go, I would like to just say that I watched your film last night, No Turning Back. And believe me, it was mesmerizing, stunning, riveting, impressive, and unforgettable. I recommend that everybody watch this film. I wish we had more time for you to tell us what gave you the idea to come up with a concept like this as compared to the movie Crash. And it left me, you know, crying. But it was wonderful crying. It was just like, wow. I just want everyone to see this film. It is absolutely outstanding. And your heart lives outside of you, Jesus. and you've given it to all of us, and I appreciate that very much. Thank you for being my guest. I do so much value your energy and your time and what you're doing in the world, and I look forward to collaborating with you and forming a stronger alliance with you in any way that I can. And what a perfect place to have you than Spiritual Hollywood. And we are using Hollywood to raise consciousness as best we can. It's the best communication tool that we have. And greater understanding comes from what it is we watch, what it is we hear, what it is we say, and mostly what it is we think about ourselves. So thank you again. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And I just want to invite you to take a deep breath, stand up really straight, and love yourselves. And we'll see you next week. And again, go to www.jesusnebot.com and also visit loveempowerment.com and get connected with this wonderful person and these wonderful lessons and your wonderful selves. Thanks again for listening. Have a good night and a good week, everyone. Bye-bye.